Rabbi Natan Tse Finkel, his dates are 1849 to 1927. Rabbi Natan Tse Finkel was a Musar thinker. He also started a yeshiva and also then founded a yeshiva in Israel, Knesset Yisrael, that is still like a very thriving and active yeshiva today. And he was known for sort of an approach to yeshiva life that was like not just learning Talmud, but actually to raise up the next generation of Talmidei Chachamim. It had to be people that were like really Talmud and also human beings who were ethical and, you know, versed in Musar and all of that. And that he didn't feel that that was like a compromise on the Talmud time, but that was actually a part of it. And I would say like one of the main ideas that he's known for, sort of like his sort of mantra, is Gadlut Adam, the greatness of human beings. And one of the teachings that sort of just comes up over and over again in his writings, he sometimes uses the language of B'Tselem, what it means for human sort of, whereas some Musar approaches are about like a sense of breaking the person down to get to that like lowly humility, and from that base of like I am nothing and I am humble to find our path. Rabbi Natan Tse Finkel was really the opposite approach. He was like, I'm going to raise the person up. It's like what it means to be created by God and in the image of God. We are these incredible human beings with incredible potential for greatness and goodness. And okay, also so true. Also like the opposite is true. The great potential to do damage. Really the incredible potential for goodness. And so therefore the responsibility that goes along with it. One of his essays, he says this amazing line that it's every human being has the obligation to know their value, to know their worth, which is like, that feels to me like a very like modern thing of like, you know, knowing our worth and our value. Once we recognize our value, like we are obligated to sort of like recognize how great we are, because it's only then that we're going to possibly live up to our responsibility of what that means. So the work that we're going to be drawing from, one of his works, is called the Or HaTzafun, the Hidden Light. It's in three volumes. There's a volume on Bereishit, a volume on Shmot, and then a volume that's like Vayikra to Dvarim. It's not organized by the Parsha, so you can't be like, what does he say on Parshat Shmot? But it's like essays on the book of Bereishit that are all having to do with like creation and human beings and responsibilities, or essays on etc. This particular essay is called Mitivot HaChesed, the Pathways of Chesed. So he starts by just bringing, this is the first paragraph, is all just direct quote of a midrash from Bereishit Rabbah. Ketuv Torah, it's written in the Torah, Ve'achrei chen kavar Avraham et Sarah ishto. And after this, Abraham buried his wife Sarah. Hadehu dichtiv, this is that which is written, Rodef tzedakah v'chesed, yimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavod. That the person who pursues tzedakah and chesed, you know, righteousness and chesed, will find life, justice, and honor. Tzedakah, ze Avraham, this is referring to Avraham, as it says, v'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah, that God says that God is singling out Avraham to direct the generations to guard the path of God to do righteousness. So like in that verse from Mishlei, from Proverbs, when it says, Rodef tzedakah v'chesed, that tzedakah is referring to Abraham because he was directed to do this. And we see that in that verse from Bereishit. Chesed, the word chesed, Rodef tzedakah v'chesed, chesed, shegemal chesed l'sarah v'chulei, that Abraham performed a chesed for Sarah. The context in Bereishit is, what's the chesed that Abraham performed for Sarah? That he buried her. Okay, so we see that this verse from Mishlei was talking about Avraham, because we see in this other place he's associated with tzedakah, that he's going to direct the people towards his path, and that chesed, he's the one that did chesed for Sarah. Amar Rabbi Yishmael Yitzchak, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani umanuti gomel chesedim, tafasa umanati bo lavush levushi, that the Holy One says, I and my craft, my work, is I am one who does gemilut chesedim, I like perform chesed. You have captured my craft, you understand my work, so come and dress in the manner of my clothes. God is saying to Avraham, and where do we see this? From this pasuk, v'Avraham zaken babi yamim, that Avraham was like old in his years. And sort of the midrashic reading on that is that he was sort of like allowed to take on this like babi yamim wisdom that only God has. So that God is like recognizing in Avraham, you are like a fellow partner in this work of gemilut chasadim, and so you should sort of come and be like me in this way. But the point of this midrash is to clearly associate Abraham with Chesed, and that part of that association with Chesed is connected to Abraham burying Sarah. Any sort of like immediate thoughts or questions that come up on that midrash?
If I was thinking about what the greatest chesed is, I probably would not think about a burial first.
Why?
I would think about how I raise up someone who's alive and living, and help someone,
So you're saying like a chesed for someone who has already died, that doesn't feel like the go-to chesed I would think of. When I think about chesed, I think of chesed between people that are alive together.
And we have a chesed commitment, right? A very small piece is what we do around shiva or something else. And that's for the person also. It's not It's not for the mate,
Great. Okay. Hal?
Yeah. It sounds profound, but I'm not sure I understand the meaning of God says, ani omanati. I don't understand. I am my work.
Right. There is something a little bit strange about that phrasing. Like, I, my work, gomel el chesed, is performing acts of chesed. Right. You could think of sort of clearer ways that you could have constructed that phrasing, that constructed that midrash.
That there's no kind of distinction between the artist and the art, but that a bit of me is in the art that I created?
I mean, the way that I would, like, read it is, like, as God saying in the first person, like, me, my work in the world is chesed.
Yeah.
And you, Abraham, you have also sort of, like, that is also your work in the world. And so since you, and since your work in the world is like my work in the world, I would translate it like less as art and more as like my craft. Mm-hmm. Like your work is my work, and so come and sort of like take on the garments that are my garments.
I was in the morning shiras about aging, and I think this is just another wonderful text to think of, like, what does it mean? What does being zaken mean? It's being dressed in like in appearance of God in some way or some form, but then also that sense of chesed, that maybe there's also a connection between growing older and increasing chesed. Like there was a quote, it was on my mind earlier today by Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel that said, like, when I was young, I really admired like intelligent people, and now as I'm older, I admire kind people. And I wonder if there's something.
Yeah, there. That's really interesting. Let's see. This is Reshit Rabba, so let's see where he goes with this. Lichora. Hadavar tamua biyoter. Seemingly, this matter is very surprising. She'Avraham nikra b'shem rodet tzedak v'chesed al shum she'nidasek b'gvurata shel Sarah ishto. That Avraham, according to his midrash, is called the pursuer of tzedak and chesed because he handled the burial of his wife Sarah. Klum begeder chesed huzek she'adam mitasek b'gvurata shel ishto. Is it really like in the category of performing a chesed, someone who is involving themselves in the burial of their wife? The Hare Ishto Gekufo, you know, we have this teaching that a person's spouse is like their own body. Umi lo haya usek kemas Avraham b'prate, and who wouldn't have done what Abraham did with regard to this? So Katya totally appreciated everything that you said. And he's very much reading it like Hal. It's like, it's as if you like read this paragraph and then just like said it back, right? That it, you know, he's saying, is this even a chesed at all? And had, oh, let's just read the next sentence. Hen lulei asa zot haya b'zeh mishum rasha'ut she'en kedugmata. Had Abraham not done this, had he not buried his own wife, it was not only his own wife, but his wife is like his own body, it would have been like the most wicked thing that one could imagine. Klum mishum kach yikareh ba'al chesed. And it's for this, that according to the Midrash, this is the chesed that Abraham did, that he's being called a ba'al chesed, right? It doesn't make sense here. He goes on to say, Ve'filu im nomar, ki gam b'maaseh kezeh yesh mishum chesed. And even if we say in this act of burial, in this action, there is a type of chesed here, right? We were all saying that. Malich ora ercho shal maaseh kezeh bein maaseh Abraham. What value is there for this particular action of chesed with compared to all of the other actions that Abraham did? Amud ha-chesed, who is the pillar of chesed. Shekol chayad chesed, v'shemasar nafsho al-chesed. All of his life is chesed, and he gave his life for chesed. And the example he brings is specifically on the third day of the circumcision when the Orchim are coming, that he like runs and gets up, and we understand that it's being like a real sakana and danger to his life, but at this moment it was a danger to his life. He's willing to sacrifice himself to be doing this chesed, right? That's the chesed, he said. Lichora, hayavrui Abraham, shikore rodef tzedakah v'chesed, avur otach hachnasat orchim. It would have made more sense for Abraham to be called rodef tzedakah v'chesed for that particular action of welcoming the guests, or avur sha'ar maaseh cheshed shelo kol yomav, or all any of the other actions that Abraham did any of the other days of his life. Vehine migalim lanu chazal shedavka ba'avur maaseh cheshed hazeh shakurat ishto zachah Abraham likare betoar rodef tzedakah v'chesed. And so it must be that Chazal are trying to teach us some great truth, that it's actually dafka for this action, that right now we don't totally understand why Abraham is called, you know, the Baal Chesed, the Rodef Tzedakah Chesed, that there is something about this burial of his life that we need to sort of further investigate and to understand. So then he's going to move on to a new idea. He says, okay, so that's the question, and we're not going to answer the question yet, but I promise we're going to come back to it. But the question is, why for this is Abraham called Rodef Tzedakah V'Chesed? There's something strange about it, everything that Hal was raising. Kulam yishamshim la'adam, kulam notru kedei la'ativ im la'adam. Everyone is created to serve human beings, and everything is created in order that things be well for the human being. Lehanot et ha'adam. To please the person. So this goes back to, it's like, it might be a little bit of a hard pill to swallow. This is like a view of human beings that is like totally egocentric, that like all of creation was created to serve us. Why? Because of Gadlut Adam, because we are like so amazing and it's all for our benefit. Okay. So on the one hand, there's that. L'shem kach nivra kolam kulo. And for this reason, all the world was created. Kol ha'elyonim v'atachtonim, kol malach, all the world was created, the upper world, the lower worlds, the angels in the upper world, every blade of grass in the lower world. Hakol hu lema'an bechir hayetzirim ha'adam. Shegadol hu kol kach ad shetrichu lekol olamon. All of this was for the chosenest of God's creatures, the human, that is so great such that they require all of the world. Ve'im yichaser eze esev or eze malach. If anything, piece of grass or an angel or is missing even for just a moment, it would be missing for a human being. He gets this from this midrash from Sanhedrin, that like all of sort of creation was created so that on the first Shabbat, Adam would have that se'uda, that meal. That it's like it was all created for that moment. Okay, so the first paragraph is like galut Adam, human beings are so amazing, and all creation is created to serve human beings. Okay. But even though he's saying we are worthy of all of this and the world is created for our sake, it wasn't, it's for a human being just to have their own enjoyment. This doesn't satisfy us. In just that person alone is enjoying or benefiting. It's not enough if just they are benefiting. Rather, the person derives benefit when all of creation, in all of its abundance and all of its goodness, is also deriving benefit, because this is the greatness of the aspect of chesed. Gedula umekifa hi kol kach, that chesed is so great that it encircles everything. That it's not just about my own personal enjoyment and what I'm getting, but chesed is like this force that encircles our lives. Shenina lo le'adam hayecholet hakvira lehanot velismoach lo rak mesimchota vehanotav shel gufo bilvan, that it was given to human beings the great ability not only to derive benefit and to be happy from their own pleasures and their own happiness, ele shekol simcha vehana'a Bein im hi shal re'ehu, every source of happiness, whether it is of a fellow, or shal kol nivra mikol amon nivriim, or if it's of even like a creature of any of creation, even if it's not the pleasure of, even if it's not talking about a human being, kikatana or kigadola, anything that is small or large, kol ele tiyena simchota v'hanotav shalo, that a person, really, it's not enough, even though creation was created for our benefit, like that doesn't satisfy us. Rather, we get pleasure not only from our own benefit, but when anyone else is deriving pleasure, when anyone else is happy, And whether it's human beings or animals, this all is a source of enjoyment and happiness for us. And it's true that in giving us this ability, it gives us like the chance to be a partner in all of creation. And specifically because it's in this happiness of a fellow human being, because a person loves a fellow like themselves. Then he's going to take it one step further. He says, "Ach klum dai lo le adam af bezeh." But this is still not enough for human beings. It's not enough that all the world is created for our benefit and we get have all these joys. It's not enough that we are also made happy when other people are happy. That's still not enough. Halo lechar ki klota kol v'im kol ahekef shebahana avesim chazon. Because at the end of the day, with everything that's associated with all this joy and all these happiness, hare einenu ele b'bchinat mekabel. We are only with this in sort of the aspect of one who is passively receiving. Shezohi nahama de kisufa, because this is the bread of disgrace. De klum zohi shlemata hana'a. And is this really true enjoyment? Is this really true pleasure? If all we are doing is sort of like passively being in the world, and either the world is created for our benefit and this gives us joy, or like we're happy because someone else is happy, like this is still a very passive way of being in the world. And is this really true enjoyment? Lefikach, hutba bo ba'adam haratzon lifol chesed. And for this reason, it was implanted in a person the desire to be a doer of chesed. Ve'nina lo gam hayecholet lehativ lanot et habru'im. And it was also given to human beings the ability to do good and to give pleasure to other creatures. Be'bechinat noten, as a giver, not just as a receiver, but as a giver. She'aliba de'ament, Netinazo hi be'emet si ha'hakbala v'hana'a shemekabel mezilato. Because in truth, it's giving that is really the height of receiving and the sort of the height of enjoyment that one can receive from another. And as Chazal said, yoter mima shebala bayit oseh ima ha'oni, ha'oni oseh im bala bayit. More than what, that this is from the Yalkut Shemoni, more than what sort of the owner of the house gives to the person who is poor and in his need, the person who is in need gives to the owner. Which is all to say that really it's like it's not enough, it's not about receiving, but like where is true pleasure? It's actually in being able to give. And that in that interchange, and this is where the whole next piece is going to become really, the sort of power dynamics is going to be relevant, that in that interchange of someone giving to someone who is in need, it's actually the person who benefits more from that is not the person in need, it's actually the person who is doing the giving, because it's only in giving that you sort of get the full height of enjoyment of receiving. So he starts off, it's sort of like a three-paragraph structure. The first is the whole world is created for human beings because we're so amazing. The second is, but that's not enough for us, and so therefore we also pledge that other people are happy. And the third is, but like even that's not enough for us because it's implanted in us. We want to make other people happy. We want to do good for other people because it's only when we are giving and we're doing that we actually get the full pleasure of receiving.